You see, it doesn't take much to get on fire, right? Yeah, that's right. To get on fire with the love of Jesus. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, it's fresh like spring. You want to sing, you want to pass it on. Right? You don't want to quench that flame. You want to fan that flame. Like Paul said to Timothy, remember to rekindle the gift that is within you. The gift of faith that was passed on to you, Timothy, from your mother, your grandmother, Lois, Eunice. They passed the flame of God's love. The fire of the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts so that we can pass on the love of God, the message of salvation in the name of Jesus to everyone in this world. Are you on fire? On fire for Jesus? Are you on fire for God? Has someone lit a fire under you? Were you a little firecracker when you were young, or perhaps still yet? Fire. A church was on fire. And everyone in the community was gathering to see the flames. The fire trucks were there. They were trying to put out the fire. Suddenly, there was a conversation between two individuals. One man looked at another. There were hundreds of spectators all around watching the fire explode in the church and the firemen trying to put it out. And the one man looked at the other and said, "You know, this is the first time I've ever seen you at this church." And you know what the response was? "That's because this is the first time I've ever seen this church on fire." Are you on fire for God? I mean, are you kind of keeping Jesus at arm's length? Do you let him sit maybe in the back seat or in the trunk if he's good? Or does he have the place behind the wheel? Have you found yourself putting your toes in the shallow end of the pool, just dabbling a bit? Or do you go down into the deep end and dive right in over your head? Do you try to play it safe when it comes to your relationship with God? Careful, cautious, don't want to get too excited? Or do you find yourself just so filled with the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, that you can't keep quiet? Everywhere you go, everything you do, you're constantly wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ, about how he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and how he's preparing a place in heaven for all those who are following in his footsteps. Fire. Fire can be good, fire can be dangerous, but we know that it is in the sacrament of holy baptism that God fills us with his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, is like a mighty rushing wind where it sweeps everyone in its path. It's like a raging fire that wants to put to dross our sin and out of the ashes raise a new creation. You and me, by the grace of God, set on fire so that we too can participate in this wonderful gift of Pentecost. On fire for Jesus. God put his fire in you. What does that mean? Well, according to our first lesson for tonight, the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 10 has a table of nations, lots of names. The descendants of Noah, his boys, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And then all of a sudden, chapter 11 of Genesis opens up and the people living on the plain of Shinar decide that they're going to build a tower that will reach into the heavens so that they can keep an eye on God. And God has to look way down at their puny little building. They're doing it because they're afraid. And they're doing it to make a name for themselves. But we who are filled with the mighty rushing wind of God, we who have the fire of God put inside of us, we don't have to worry about making a name for ourselves. Genesis chapter 12 is where God calls Abraham and Sarah and says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. You're going to have so many descendants, you're not going to be able to number them. I'm going to make your name great. And so their seed, Jesus, becomes the Savior of the world. And God gives us His name, that great name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we are christened, which means to be named, to be baptized, to be put into useful service in water. Most of the time, don't we use water to douse a flame? God uses water and His word, Jesus, to ignite the flame like a wildfire. Everywhere it goes, spreading the love of Jesus. God doesn't play with matches. God uses fire to ignite us and to send us forth, giving us the name, Paul says, that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I read the paper this morning, yesterday's paper. I was a day late, and in the sports section, they talked about Jason Day. Do you know Jason Day? Are you a golfer? I'm not a golfer, but Jason Day is 28 years old. He's from Australia, and he's the number one ranked golfer in the world right now. And there is a golf tournament called the Players' Championship down in Florida. They're on their day three. I guess tomorrow will be day four, permitting good weather. And Jason Day did something amazing. In fact, he was on fire. You know what I mean. When somebody's on fire, it's like they can't miss. It's like they're in the zone. It's like everything they shoot is net. Jason Day tied the course record on Thursday. He shot a 63, 9 under par. A year ago, on the same course, he shot an 81 and he missed the cut. Amazing. When he shot the 81, he had a triple bogey, he had a couple of double bogeys, he had three other bogeys. But this time, he said, when you're kind of in the zone, when someone has put the fire in you, he said, it's like I couldn't miss. From the tee to the green, very, very good. And once he was on the green, all 18 holes, he was able to putt for birdie. 18 holes. He made 9 of those birdies. He even made a 30-foot putt for par. And then I read this morning, just to kind of catch up on what had happened with him with golfing, he finished the second round, and he set a new course record for 36 holes. Now, is it going to continue? That's the question. Because when someone has the fire in them, when someone is in the zone, they can't miss. It's like they can't miss getting victory, right? But will it continue? Or will the flame die out? So it is in the church. Will it continue or will the flame die out? Because we're either fanning the flame or we're dousing it and quenching it. Dwight L. Moody was a prominent evangelist of the 19th century, around the Chicago area especially. And he was asked one day to go and visit a gentleman, a prominent gentleman in Chicago, who claimed to be a Christian but never set foot in church. And Dwight L. Moody went there, and before he even had a chance to say a word, this prominent businessman began to explain why he didn't need to be in church. I can be just as good of a Christian outside of the church as any of those who are inside the church. Dwight L. Moody didn't say a word. It was wintertime. They were sitting in the parlor, and so there was a large fireplace filled with coal. And it was hot, burning. Dwight L. Moody simply went over to the fireplace, took the tongue, grabbed one little piece of coal, took it out and put it on the stone hearth. And then he just sat back down. And before long, that piece of coal was no longer bright and flaming and producing heat. It had died out to nothing. The prominent gentleman looked at Dwight L. Moody and said, "I see. Mr. Moody, you have made your point. I will be in church." What are we doing with the fire that God has put in us? I mean, are we fanning it? Is it producing combustion? Or are we separating ourselves from others and letting that flame die out and letting it amount to nothing? In 2001, when little Emily was 4 years old, she, her mom, and dad lived in Madison, Wisconsin. And little Emily, from the time she was baptized, never missed a Sunday of church. She was, for a four-year-old little girl, on fire for God. She just loved Jesus. Everything about her life, she just loved Jesus. She loved going to Sunday school. She loved going to church. And her favorite song at church was one that my granddaughters would know. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. That was what she called the God song. Her and her mother, they went to church every week. But her dad rarely, if ever, went. One day, four-year-old Emily looked at her father and said, "Daddy, I got a question. Are you saved?" And her father, without even giving an answer, looked at her and said, "Well, why do you ask?" And little Emily, four-year-old Emily, looked at her dad and said, "Because I want you to be in heaven with mommy and me." That day, God lit a little fire under Emily's father. He said, "I got to thinking about what my daughter said. And I started to read, and I started to pray, and he started to go to church." And then, one morning, Emily's mother was fixing breakfast. Emily's father was in the shower. Emily comes running to her mother and says, "Mom, Mom, come, you got to hear this. Daddy's singing God's song." And sure enough, in the shower, Emily's father was singing, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest." It was amazing. That was the end of November. And on Christmas Day in December, Emily's father was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God lit a fire under him. God put the fire of Jesus in him. That was 15 years ago. And that fire is still burning strong and hot and bright in the life of 19-year-old Emily and her mother and her father. Have you got a fire in you? I mean, not just on the golf course. But if you got a fire in you, the fire of the Holy Spirit that wants to get out there and tell people the good news. The disciples were waiting, 120 of them, for promises to be fulfilled. Because Jesus said power is coming. And when this power comes, you're going to be ignited. And you're going to be explosive. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. There's no limit of where God wants us to take the love of Jesus and the salvation that is found only in his name. There's a mighty rushing wind. Everyone is able to understand the good news, the mighty acts of God in their own tongue. There's like these flames of fire in the shape of a tongue. Now, most of the people were amazed. What in the world is going on? I mean, it's Pentecost. We're celebrating the gift of the law. There was a fire, you know, on Mount Sinai too, the burning bush that wasn't consumed. What is going on? But there were some who scoffed and said, they're drunk. They're just drunk. And Peter says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But it was God who put the fire in Peter so that he could proclaim the sermon. And what you heard tonight in the reading that Larry shared with us, Peter says, this is all about the prophet Joel. The last day has arrived. The last days are here. Ever since Pentecost came, the last days are here, and God has kept his word, and he's poured out the Holy Spirit. Just like Joel said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, young, old, rich, poor. Maid servants, male servants, everybody gets the spirit, the power of God. Everyone gets the fire of Jesus put in them. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The fire, the flame of God. You know about the Titanic. You've read the stories, you've seen the movie maybe. What was it? 1912, right? When the Titanic, that indestructible vessel, sunk and hundreds of lives were lost? Did you know that the SS Californian was only about an hour and a half from them? They heard the distress signals. And you know why they didn't go and respond right away? They had decided, because they were afraid of the icebergs in the North Atlantic, to remain motionless in the water. And they had extinguished the fire and had no steam. No fire, no steam, no power, no one was rescued. Little or no lives would have been lost. If they hadn't been operating by fear, if they hadn't extinguished the fire and decided to be immobile and to remain motionless in the water. In baptism, God has put the fire of the Holy Spirit into your heart and soul. Not so that you can douse it and try to put it out or try to blow it out like a birthday candle, but so the flame can be fanned and so that people can hear the good news. Salvation in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to be on fire for God? According to Jesus' farewell discourse, it means that Jesus is providing for his church. He washes their feet. He gives them a new commandment. He says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to send you power and a presence. He provides for us by sending power and a presence and by preparing a place for those who have been immersed in his death and resurrection. In my Father's house, there's a place for you, Jesus said, and I prepare it for you. I won't leave you as an orphan. I'm going to give you my presence and my peace. Why? Why the fire? Proclamation. Our mission here at Emmanuel, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are praising. That's worship. We are proclaiming. That's Pentecost. That's evangelism. That's telling the good news story. And we are practicing discipleship, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, keeping company with Christ, Emmanuel, God with us in daily life. In 1981, in Louisville, Kentucky, St. Matthew's Baptist Church was on fire. And everyone in the neighborhood congregated to see the church going up in flames while the fire department tried to put it out. One of the members of the staff that worked at St. Matthew's Church, he said, "There were more people that gathered to watch the church burn than ever gathered for worship." And then he said, "I think the lesson is this. If a church is really on fire, then people will come to see it burn. If the people of God are really on fire, then people are going to come to watch you burn for Jesus with His love, with His mercy, with His forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." We rise as we are able for our song of the day.